Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York, and welcome to another fun episode here.
Did you bring a bodyguard with you to work today?
I did.
Yeah, SMC Man Cave. Go to SMC Man Cave and just see all the ranting and raving.
Yeah.
Roy, if anybody listens, I'm Bruce Hall.
People
by the
hate
way.
Me this out is, there right now.
This is my show, but I'm going to make it Roy's show today.
They just don't know you. If they would have known you, they'd hate you a while
they'd
ago.
Help.
You know what I like about what's going on in the NCAA right now with in regards to football and the scoring? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just the way things are because they got to beat. It is so easy to pick winners compared to previous years ever. For me, at least, I go back into the 80s that I've even had this close to this good of a year in NCAA, and I'm not I don't purport myself to be an NCAA guy, but guess what? On my website this week, oh yeah, I'm going to be an NCAA guy again, and I'm going to be looking. You can call, by the way, 1-800-466-4748. Leave a message. I will call you back. I have to, check all my phone calls and make sure the right people are calling me. But I got to tell you, West Virginia. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
So, are you hearing that too, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm getting rid of it. Don't worry.
That's pretty cool. But anyway, West Virginia was a 27 or 28.
It closed at 30, but
they were a 30-point underdog to a pretty good Baylor team. Who basically just ran a track meet on him. And we'll have Sean Salisbury on the third segment today. For those of you that like Sean, and that's pretty much everybody from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing, Sean Salisbury every Sunday morning drives from Houston to a place where he coaches young quarterbacks. And Sean knows how to do that. That's for sure. You know, he played in the NFL for several years. Great, you know, college quarterback at USC. And but Sean, he thinks it's very easy picking these guys now because there's just a handful of teams that just have so much talent, especially on offense. And then they've got just good enough defense to outscore the teams they play. And then there's everybody else. And I got to thank somebody. Who was it? Was it Alabama that played Georgia State yesterday?
Yes, yeah.
I got to give it to Alabama. They held the score down. Did you see that? They didn't cover. Now, they didn't shave. I'm not going to say they shaved, but it was a perfect opportunity to when you're 55-point favorites. You know, because, I mean, you win by 54, you hit your number if you went the other way. But I got to tell you, I like what they did. They didn't try to run the score up. May end up costing them in the long run because Oregon certainly did run the score up a little bit. Actually, they didn't. In the fourth quarter, there was no scoring in the Oregon-Colorado game. Colorado, by the way, honored a good friend of ours, father's, Mike McCartney, who is an agent in the NFL, and a former NFL coach, former NCAA coach, just a great guy in his own right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Mike on next week because I love talking to Mike. I mean, Mike knows everything about what's going on in the NFL. But his father, Paul McCartney, I'm just kidding, Ringo Starr. Now, his father, Mike McCartney. It's not even Mike McCartney. I got to remember.
Mike McCartney.
You know what I call him? Coach McCartney. That's all what I always call him. But he was the head of
Promise. That's the right answer.
He was the head of Promise Keepers. And for a lot of Christian men, and excuse me, Matt, for saying this, but for a lot of Christian men, is that your IQ or number of blank? Anyway, it's going to be a good show today. You know, anytime you hear us losing it at the start of a show, it's going to be a great show. But we're going to try to have Tony Mazur on. Tony just sent me some info.
I'm glad that we want to have Tony on. I want to talk to Tony.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I got to tell you, I love Cleveland. And I loved him the other night. And I sent out a tweet nationwide, actually. And please follow me at Bruce Hall Sports. Because you know what? It's what's really cool is I follow some of the top beat writers, top scouts, top football people in the country. And if you've ever listened to the show, you know, I talk to major league managers. Mm-hmm. Talk to them. Don't send them an email or anything. I mean, we text back and forth. And by the way, remember when I said Cal Ripken and I told you I sent Rizzo an email? This was like 3 months ago.
About the manager?
Yeah, and then Jason Worth comes out and it's front page news. No front page news for Bruce Hall, but front page news that all of a sudden Worth wants Cal to be in the dugout.
I'd be so mad.
Well, if you were a coach for the team, you'd be mad. But let me just say this. Cal Ripken, I'm talking about this. Call me Tangent Tom this morning. I had something to eat. You know, I had one of those buns. Here, Roy, I got you one in here. Excuse me. That's good. It's good food. I get these phenomenal buns from this little convenience store before I come over here. And see,
mom and pop shop, you know, because we shop local.
I didn't bring you, though, any a Red Bull because, what? I'm going. I didn't bring Red Bull just because Dana Holgorsen called me and told me not to give you one.
Yeah. He's a jerk.
Anyway, Roy wants Dana Holgorsen gone.
I do. I want him
and
gone.
And from what we heard, evidently a former quarterback.
Yes, Pat White.
You tell the story. Tell us what.
Yeah, he tweeted out yesterday that the team didn't respect him. I'll pull up the exact tweet here in a little bit, but he tweeted out that the team didn't respect him, that he lost control.
In so many words.
And that he wanted another coach that had been let go in California this week, in Lane Kiffin, who had been fired by the Raiders. Left Tennessee the way he did, and
it would be the first time Lane Kiffin did not get a move up.
Didn't get
ever.
A better job after
didn't
getting
get a
fired.
Better job. But you know what? If West Virginia comes a calling for Lane Kiffin, he'd be an idiot not to take the job because I don't think anybody's going to offer him a job in Division One, except Kansas maybe, because Charlie Weiss is getting the crap kicked out of him. And why? Oh, that's right. They can't cheat at Kansas.
I mean, it's
New England offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss. Thank you very much.
He said he is not a leader. Players don't believe or trust. Hashtag Lane Kiffin. Hashtag pull the plug. And also Chris Neal. Also he weighed in on it. He went into WVU as well. He was a nose tackle for the Washington Redskins. He said if people only knew what went on behind the white lines, people can never understand. Supporting Pat White, saying that. Get rid of Dana Holgorsen. So this is it's a movement, and I started it after Maryland thing. I just want everybody to know that. After the Maryland game, I wanted him gone. And now Pat White's on board, so we got to face the argument.
I hear you, boy. Listen, we're going to talk in.
Are you and him meeting behind closed doors, cigars?
I've met
we need
Pat.
To get rid of this guy.
Absolutely not.
Now, I have met Pat
he's not
before.
The only, he's not but, the only one that feels
yeah,
that
we're
way.
Not the only ones.
And here's the deal. Dana is a good coach. No, he is. He's a very good offensive coach. He's not a head coach. He's not a big picture guy. No. And obviously, the problem in college football is there is no general manager. I mean, the head coach is the general manager.
Exactly, yes.
And you've got to have a good recruiting coordinator. You actually have to have about three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And because they – look, if you're going to carry 85 full scholarships, get 85 good ball players, idiot.
Yeah.
You know, don't take all of those scholarships away from every other male sport in college at your university and – give them to some moron who can't block or chew gum and walk at the same time. That happens all over the country. Obviously not happening much at Baylor. Obviously not happening much at Oregon. Not happening at Alabama. You know, but I got to tell you, at West Virginia, you know, they're in the Big 12 now.
We have to establish an
identity. And this is all after giving East Carolina a boatload of crap. And what did East Carolina do? They go out and beat UNC.
Yeah, well, the guy had sweat on his hands.
Yeah, he had sweat on his hands. Right. Did you?
It's really hard to throw a football when you have sweat on your
hands. The kid's from West Springfield High School in Northern Virginia. You don't think he ever had sweaty hands there? He was all Metro like 2 years in a row.
It's ridiculous.
Bren's a hell of a ball player.
Is that not the worst excuse you've ever heard?
I've heard I've had a headache, and the way I say it is, take three Motrin and shut.
But we would have beat ECU if we'd have sweat on our hands.
Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So a couple college football coaches did get fired this week. We had Lane Kiffin out in California, who got fired in one of the worst ways.
Yeah, and they took all his stuff off the bus and just set it on the corner and took off the bus.
They had a meeting in the locker room. The game was in Arizona State, and the president was there, and the AD, and they had all had a meeting in the third quarter after while they're getting blown out by Arizona State. And they said, all right, we're going to fire this guy. So they pull him off the bus. He leaves his stuff on the bus. Okay, he comes out.
Because he wasn't thinking it was going to be a
big
deal.
He had no idea he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
He said, hey, you're fired. Go home. Didn't let him back on the bus. He had to call a buddy to get his stuff off the bus. I mean, that's like the worst way to fire a guy.
And that's probably after all the other coaches have gone through all of it.
I mean, did the guy deserve to get fired? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he never deserved to get the job to begin with.
Right, but you just punked this guy. I mean, that is awful.
And evidently, the University of Tennessee doesn't miss him because they almost beat Georgia yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there were some really good NCAA games yesterday.
Well, they're on their second coach since Lane Kiffin, right?
Yes.
This is his first year,
they
right?
fired Dooley because his mother was giving everybody too much crap. I mean, ever since Philip Fulmer was fired at Tennessee, it has been an absolute cluster, you know what.
Yeah.
It's been horrible there. And that is one of the top programs in the country. They've had over 100,000 fans in Neyland Stadium since the 70s. I was there in 82 for Bear Bryant's last game.
Mm-hmm.
Regular season game.
Yep.
I was on the field, and I'm telling you, there wasn't an empty seat in that place, and there were 104,000 seats then. Now there's like 112,000 seats. Because every time somebody gets more seats than them, they put another 1,000 seats in the stadium. Somehow, it's got to be really small people that are getting them. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall. Yeah, because the seats are tiny. I can't fit one of my Butox in those seats. But anyway, my son's a big Tennessee fan. He gives me Tennessee yesterday. He was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both my cousins went to Tennessee, actually.
He was right. I mean, they should have won the game. The guy reached out.
That was awful.
With a ball and lost it before he hit the pylon.
It's like the shining moment of his college career.
That happened. You know what? That happens all the time.
So awful.
That happens all the time because the problem is if you touch the pylon or cross, even touch the front of the line on the end zone, with the ball under control, it's already a touchdown because evidently time stops when that happens.
Yes, of course.
But if you have to catch a pass, you got to control it through the fall on the ground and everything else, which I think is horse crap. I think that's hard to do. I think there's been a lot of bad calls because of that.
The Megatron won a couple of years ago.
That was a catch. That was stupid. He pushed himself up with the ball. He did a damn push-up. How many people can do that with one arm with a ball? I'm Bruce Hall. Let's do this. Can we talk MLB real quick and get it out of the way?
Yeah,
because there ain't a whole lot of MLB going on, but I got to tell you, I gave everybody Boston for the series last week. If you didn't take it, you're lost. Boston is crushing everybody. And they're gonna continue to crush. I got him for the series. They were minus 160 for the series. I got him winning the daggone.
Do you have more series?
I got him winning everything. Absolutely, absolutely.
I hope not.
No, Boston's just too much better. Remember, I picked Detroit to win at the start of the season.
Yeah,
but I just don't think Detroit has the relief pitchers to get it done. And last night they got beat by a rookie. Verlander gets beat. Now, Verlander pitched a hell of a game. And the worst umpire, C.B. Buckner, B-U-C-K-N-O-R, for everybody listening out there, Google him and send Major League Baseball a message. This guy is the worst umpire in the history of the major leagues, and he was behind the dish last night, behind home plate. And he didn't do as badly as he normally does, but it was obvious he wasn't very good.
Boston has put up 19 runs in two games.
Well, they're not bad. This just in. And by the way, Big Poppy.
It's not even two full games because they haven't even gotten to the ninth.
David Ortiz, how can he look like that? He looks better now than he did 5 years ago, and he's 40, and he's just knocking the. He had two.
Yeah, but Poppy, Poppy, no do the steroids.
Well, that's what Poppy says.
That's what Poppy says.
Well, I think Pop. You know what I think? I think Poppy's doing the killer steroids that like Michael Phelps did. Michael Phelps did. Well, there's an HGH that's undetectable. No, there is. And that's why the NFL doesn't want them doing anything about HGH. All of those guys, how do you think these guys are 320 to 350 on offensive line? It wasn't that long ago that Joe Jacoby, former Washington Redskin and soon to be Hall of Famer, because Russ Grimm made him the toughest human being in the world. This guy was a free agent signing with the Redskins back in the early 80s, I think out of Louisville. 6'7", 300 pounds of muscle. And acne, by the way.
Well, how'd he get that?
No, he didn't do anything at that time. Mm-hmm. No, he had acne, period, trust me. I mean, I knew Joe. Jake might still have acne, and he's probably 50. But my point is this guy ended up becoming a left tackle for the Redskins, and Grimm played right next to him. And I got to tell you, they were the hogs, you know? But he was the biggest guy in the NFL. Now he would be an undersized tackle. 300 pounds isn't big enough at tackle. Trent Williams is what, 320, 330? He's about 330.
He's a good size. I mean,
he's a big left tackle.
I mean, I feel like you almost want to get away from the gigantic size.
Well, you got to be able to move your feet.
Right.
Obviously.
And the NFL is getting faster. You're going to start to see offensive linemen and especially defensive linemen get smaller.
Hey,
you're going to see more of the Bruce Irvin type pass rusher.
Roy, we don't talk about this very often, and I know you live in Baltimore now. You live in Towson, technically.
I live in the city.
Oh, you're in the city now.
Yeah.
That's good because you just moved. And that's right. And after this weekend with the toothless phone calls and death threats, you're going to be moving again, I understand. But but who is your favorite team now? Because I can't figure you out because last year you picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, kind of like the year before I picked New York to win, and everybody thought we were on drugs and we were both right.
Yeah.
And you know, not many people. What are the odds of you pick of this show picking the winners before the season started ever?
Well, apparently it's pretty good because we've done it.
We're
in
two
every,
for two. Two we, for our last
and
two.
And we did it in the NBA and we did it in.
Yeah, but the NBA is easy. There's only like four good teams.
There's only like two good teams playing different conferences.
And listen, and let me tell you, in the NFL this year, there are several teams that have a shot.
There are.
There are several teams that don't have a shot, too, that everybody thought had a shot. Let's go through the...
Super Bowl winner was the 49ers, but they've been so up and down this year that... I mean, my Super Bowl pick before the beginning of the year, I have very little faith in them thus far. I had 49ers and the Houston Texans. And the Texans
are going to get
terrible.
They're going to get whacked today, too.
I mean, they might not even make the playoffs.
The 49ers play the Texans tonight, right? And I'm going to tell you, that is going to be a great game tonight for about 10 minutes.
It's my Super Bowl.
Let me just say this about your Super Bowl. San Francisco's got a shot to get there. Houston doesn't have a shot to get there. Houston may not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And did you see who's off of Twitter? Matt Schaub.
Well, the guy is probably
he's on suicide watch.
What's it called when you get put somewhere and nobody knows where you are? Protective custody.
He shot and killed and buried somewhere in the woods.
Yeah. Well, after the last game when he threw the pick six, they had a
that was
good
the
old,
worst
good old
throw
bonfire.
Out. You know what? I wouldn't have thrown that. I would have just fallen down and held on to the ball.
I mean, the guy's not that bad, though.
No, but he's not that good.
He's not an elite quarterback.
I'll tell you another thing. That offensive line isn't protecting him either. And you know, the offensive line has had some injuries.
Yeah, Andre Johnson's banged up.
But everybody's hurt. You know, that's the thing. Everybody's hurt. Schaub is not that athletic. You know who's like him? Matt Ryan's like him. Matt Ryan was fine until last year when he got hurt in the last game. You remember? Mm-hmm. In the playoffs?
The Falcons looked terrible.
You know what? You know, he's scared. He's a little like RG3. Now, RG3 is getting a little better each week. We're talking about Robert Griffin, a guy that I don't think if he can't run the football as part of the offense – he's a slightly above average quarterback, maybe.
Okay.
I'm going to give him that.
Okay.
And I'm happy with him if they can figure out another way to run the offense. But I got to tell you something.
I'll give you slightly above average, as long as you're not going to say average. A lot of people should we put in Kirk Cousins until he's healthy?
He's like, not average on, just because of how quickly he adjusted to the NFL game. Now, he's tried to – you can't force things. Last year, he didn't have to force anything.
I mean, he's throwing for 1,200 yards right now, touchdowns.
Yeah, but let's remember this, Roy. Let's remember this about the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the Redskins now.
Yes, the Redskins.
And we always promise not to talk about – we're going to talk about that for sure.
A Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, and by the way, for Roy, you matter, right? Because you're working.
Well, I don't – well, now we can't talk about it.
Okay. But anyway, here is the deal. Here is the deal with the Redskins. The Redskins, right now, their defense is starting to pick up a little slack. They looked a lot better against Oakland. Of course, they had to have Matt Flynn at quarterback to look good. We don't win that game, in my opinion, mm-hmm. if Matt Flynn doesn't start. If they start Terrell Pryor. Listen, Terrell Pryor's back getting 5 points this weekend against San Diego. Mm-hmm. Not only is that game going to go over, I think that Oakland will cover that at home because Oakland's defense is not that bad. The Redskins just were on the field the whole damn game.
They're saying that the Raiders are a possible landing spot for Josh Freeman. Do you buy that?
No. Because I think Terrell Pryor is a guy, and they can't have two guys that they think is the guy. I think Terrell Pryor is a guy. No, I don't think Josh Freeman goes there. I think they're saying that because...
because they'll take anybody out. No,
well, you know what? But it's not... Well, it is Al Davis's son's team. I mean, he... you know, and they do like underdogs. Mm-hmm. And they've always liked African-American... any kind of players, that's just the way they've always been. So that's why a lot of times these guys think that every time there's a black quarterback available, mm-hmm. he's going to the Raiders. That's a bunch of crap. You know, that, in my opinion, you got to look at – there's a lot of other teams. I'd rather see him in Jacksonville. I mean, in Jacksonville, he wouldn't have to move that far.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tampa to Jacksonville, you can make the drive in 3 hours, yeah. 4 hours. It's really not
move your house.
It's really not that far.
But I think Oakland could be a possibility simply because I don't think Matt Flynn's your backup. And if Terrell Pryor is your starter going forward, Josh Freeman could be a very good backup option, which at this point in his career, I think that's all he really is a backup.
We're going to have Sean Salisbury on at 10:35 today, just to remind everybody. We went back and forth over four or five NFL games, talked a little bit about the NCAA. We taped Sean's segment before the show, mm-hmm. and Sean is just a wonderful guy. Knows more knowledgeable about football than anybody I've ever talked to, and he's nice enough to come on my show, which is something I'm going to repay to him many times over when I become rich and famous. And by the way.
When you grow up.
By the way, Colin Coward. I heard a
That's
rant.
That's my boy, though. I love
Colin
Coward.
Let me tell you.
Coward.
Well, I was told. Everybody told me this years ago. They said, you know, there's a guy out there, Colin Coward.
Best.
He really reminds me of you. And I went, reminds him of me? You mean I remind you of him? He's pretty good guy. I like Colin too, but he did a rant on UVA football that uh-huh. I have never, you can find it on
He's
YouTube.
Hilarious.
It was the funniest yeah. rant I have ever listened to about anything. Mm-hmm. I was dying laughing. A guy pulled it up on YouTube or on whatever. Yeah, YouTube, I guess. And he put it down in front of me when I was eating after I played golf yesterday, mm-hmm. and it was pretty loud. And he was taking callers,
yeah.
and the callers would go, "Well, I think Virginia's going to be you guys. Well, you guys are, but you guys wear suits to football games. You wear suits to football games. Who wears a suit to a football game? You know,
yeah.
It was good stuff. Listen, MLB. Yeah. We're talking about MLB.
Yes.
All
let's
right.
Get back
today.
Let's finish it up.
Let's see who everybody's got. I'm going to say. Today, Liriano's pitching again, by the way, for the Pirates. I'm taking the Pirates today.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, now, obviously.
Kelly is
yeah, but I'm yeah. St. Louis is not going to win this game. This is in Pittsburgh.
It is at PNC.
It is going to be crazy there. And I'm pretty sure that right now the Pirates are the better team.
Did you hear about Cueto's, was it his mom?
No, huh?
She got, like, harassed at the game?
Oh, no. I heard about
that. Was it Cueto's mom? Or was it one of the relief pitchers?
It was somebody's wife.
Was it his wife?
Yeah, they got harassed. And I can't remember who it was, but, you know, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs in 21 years.
Yeah, but here's all I can say. Be thankful you weren't in Philadelphia or you've been thrown in the back of a van.
Yeah, really.
You would have disappeared.
You're lucky you weren't like an hour east or wherever Philadelphia is.
So let me ask you a question. Who made your day yesterday in NCAA football?
The Clemson Tigers.
They made my day, too. As a matter of fact, they covered. And for a while there, I wasn't sure. And then all of a sudden, boy, I tell you, Syracuse is not Syracuse of past.
No.
I think our guy, the Buffalo Bill head coach, knew when to leave, didn't he?
Yeah, just a little bit. He's like, you're going to let me leave?
Yeah.
Wait a second. I don't even got to move. Buffalo's just a little miles north.
Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Roy Edwards. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we've got Sean Salisbury on the line. Sean, it's great to have you with us again. I appreciate you doing this for us. You're on your way to go coach some future NCAA stars, correct?
Yeah, I made a long drive in this morning, training a couple. One of my quarterbacks driving in from Louisiana to train here in Houston, and I drove in from Dallas, and I got another guy that lives here in Houston, so I'm excited. These are good kids and hard workers and a lot of potential, so hopefully I can help them along the way.
Well, that's great. Listen, I just want your feel about something. You know, there's going to be a lot of undefeated teams, it looks like, in the NCAA, and I follow you on Twitter like crazy anyway, and Rodney Dangerfield's pulling up outside. Can you hear him? Anyway, last night I got a chance. You know, Baylor, I went 5-0 yesterday, and when I'm having really a lot of success in the NCAA, which I'm not an expert of, things are getting a little too easy to call. The good teams are getting better, and the bad teams seem to be getting worse. Unfortunately, Mike McCartney, his father was honored in Colorado at the University of Colorado yesterday. And then I got to give it to Baylor. They could have run the score up. I'm sorry, not Baylor. I'm trying to think who it was that beat Colorado so bad.
Oregon.
I mean, they could have run it up much worse, and they didn't. But West Virginia had traveled to Baylor, and they just got absolutely bitch-slapped. Like, terribly. And I'm not a big West Virginia fan, even though my co-host, Roy Edwards, I mean, that's his alma mater. And he's gone from being a Dana Holgorsen butt boy to being a calling for his resignation almost immediately. What do you think? I mean, am I close to that? Are the good just getting a lot better and there's really not that many teams that can compete with them anymore?
Well, there's no question it's easier, I think, to pick games on Saturday than it is to pick games on Sunday because the discrepancy and the distance. I mean, on Sunday, heck, the NFL, you know, the team that's ranked 30th in the NFL can wake up one day and get a few breaks and a turnover because, you know, all these guys were all Americans, great players in college. But, you know, these teams that are getting 22 first-round pick scholarships and the way scholarships are where they're going, of course, the Alabamas and, you know, of course, upsets happen, but the good ones, there's a big distance between the also-rans and the dominant ones. And, you know, in that West Virginia-Baylor game, first, I'll say this. I think Oregon and Baylor are the two most explosive offenses in the country. But Baylor, who doesn't get the same players as Oregon, it's amazing watching what Art Briles has done with that program. And he is a hot commodity, and I wouldn't mind having him at SC as well. But the reason why is Baylor can score from anywhere. Heck, they can score from their own home. They run the ball well. I mean, not run the ball well. They run the ball. Sistrunk is spectacular.
Right.
And their quarterback's accurate, and they just keep coming at you. They keep coming at you. They don't get the same credit as Oregon, and they don't have maybe the same, at least, well, they don't have the same height, but I'll tell you what, they've taken their game to another level. And as far as West Virginia goes, what a difference a year makes, because last year, the first 5 weeks of the season, they were doing what Baylor is doing, and they're doing what Oregon is doing to everybody else. And now look at, but they don't play defense. And if you don't play defense and you practice as a finesse team, I actually talked and interviewed Dana Holgorsen a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks or a month ago, and he, you know, he understands what they got to get going. They got to change things. But when you practice against finesse team, when you're a finesse team, and you turn your defense into a finesse team because they're used to seeing it every day on the practice field.
Right.
It makes it difficult to turn off and on a light switch. So Dana's a good football coach. I'm not ready for his resignation. West Virginia hasn't played great defense for a long time. So, but when you're one of those teams that thinks you can outscore everybody, then you run into Baylor or the Oregons or the teams that can outscore you and are more physical than you, a few turnovers or a few three and outs, and it's done. So I'm flabbergasted at how good Baylor is offensively and how they're fun to watch, and they've got some players that can flat out run. And West Virginia, until you play defense. Now, I believe offense wins championships now, but that absolutely means your defense at least got to hold somebody. You can't 40 and 50 points a week. You just can't let that happen. So it's not a real good, and West Virginia doesn't have the same offense they had with Geno Smith. So they're struggling right now, and Dana's got to go out and get some more physical players. They've got to get, you know, better players in a lot of positions. They're not very good right now.
I agree, Sean. Sean Salisbury on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion right now. Sean, let's get right to the NFL, because I'm going to tell you something. There are some of the best games I've seen. It's like the good teams are playing each other today and the horrible teams are playing each other, which right, usually makes for a very interesting Sunday. And I feel, for the first time, I had a pretty decent week last week, and we almost, with your help, Houston, it looked like Houston was going to run away with that game last week. It looks like they were going to get a W, and then all of a sudden it kind of turned on them. But they're going to have an opportunity to come back today and see what they can do, boy, because they've got a tough game ahead of them today. The Saints are playing the Bears. Now, the Saints right now are a one-point favorite in Chicago. This is basically a pick game. I'm leaving it alone, because I think the Saints are a hell of a lot better in the Superdome than they'll be outside in 50-degree weather and it's raining. What do you think?
Well, I agree. And if people have the guts to grab this one, then better them than me. And if I was going to, I would take Chicago, you know, in with the spread, simply because when you look at the numbers of a – and I can't remember what it was, and I was looking at it this week, and I don't remember the exact percentage – but when a team, an indoor team, wins and then goes on the road to play in an outdoor stadium, the numbers are alarming from the week before. And they're playing against a Bears team that was pretty much embarrassed last week against Detroit.
Right.
And the bounce back of the I'm big on the bounce back factor in the NFL, especially if you're a good team. You don't go through long losing streaks or two
absolutely
games in the fall. Yeah, so Cutler's coming off a bad performance. I think he threw three picks last week. So, and while I love the Saints, and Drew Brees' numbers against the Bears are not nearly as good as they are against the other teams that he plays. So this is going to be a difficult one. If I was picking it, I'd take the Bears.
Right.
But I'm with you. This is one that I wouldn't touch, just simply because Brees is so good. He may overcome that statistic about traveling on the road, but they are far better. If this was at home, be a no-brainer pick for me.
Right, right.
Being it's in Chicago, I agree with you.
Hey, the Lions are playing the Packers. Now, the Packers have beaten the Lions in Lambeau ever since before my 20-year-old daughter was alive.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, the Lions did beat the Redskins, which is not saying a whole hell of a lot this year so far, but they did break up that little monopoly that the Redskins had. The Redskins had never lost to them, ever. And I just kind of think right now, the Packers have had a week off. They should be ready to play, but I'm taking over 55 in this game, and it's my play of the week, because I think that the one thing the Lions are going to be able to do is move the ball on the Packers' defense. The Packers, though, with Aaron Rodgers, I think will outscore them. How do you feel about this game, Sean?
Yeah, is this game in Lambeau or is it in
Detroit? It's in Lambeau. It's in Lambeau
Field. Yeah, Packers 2 weeks to prepare, and they've lost a couple games this year where they went Cincinnati – and obviously San Francisco. This is a team that a lot of people had pegged to win the division, and they must win this game, anticipating Chicago's going to win. And, even though Minnesota's not a big threat, they're coming off their win against Pittsburgh, and Detroit's playing pretty damn well. So I like the Packers in this game, too. And I can tell you this, and I would go with the over on this game, too. On that board, Bruce, in front of you, because I'm driving, are the Packers and Lions, is that the highest over-under game of the highest points in the league?
No, it's not. You know who's got the highest total?
Cowboys Broncos.
Yes. And I'm leaving that alone, but I'm taking the Broncos because I've been in that spaceship they call a stadium in Dallas when Jacksonville has won by 30 points. It doesn't matter. No, they don't have a home field advantage in Dallas anymore.
Even though
they've won twice at home this year, which is odd. You know they have but they played nobody at home. They're playing the best team in the league.
There's no question with the best quarterback in the league. So back to this Green Bay. To me, a lot of times I'm starting to look at it, the team, and I'm going to tell you, even though I wouldn't touch it, but if I did, I'd take the over in the Cowboy Broncos game.
Yeah,
to me in the NFL, when that spread starts to creep towards the mid 50s, something's up, and it seems like it's almost like clockwork. And I bet if somebody did this, and I'm sure they have these. You know, and Bruce, you may have.
Oh, absolutely! They're trying to talk you into another side, is what they're trying to do.
Yes, and when statistics will tell you, the highest game on the board over under of the week, more often than not, take the doggone over.
Yep.
But with two high scoring games, unless the weather was so bad, if it was December in Lambeau, different story. It's not, and it's not going to be that bad. So
no, it's not.
I take the over in that one. And if I was going with the Cowboys and Broncos, I would take not only the Broncos to cover, but I'd also take the Broncos and the Cowboys to go over that point spread today. I think both teams are going to put a lot of points on the board, and I just think that Peyton Manning is going to have another field day because they play soft zone defense, and unless DeMarcus Ware has a monster day, I don't see how you stop Peyton Manning.
No, absolutely, and that was one of our other games, the Broncos. So you like the Broncos and you like the Broncos over.
I like them all. Now, here's... I like them all the way around. Play better defense and they're a better offense.
Sean, we got a couple of minutes left. Let me. Here's the game I love. I love the Colts at home, indoors. Even though they're not going to have Ahmad Bradshaw today, I love them over the Seahawks, and I'm a big Seahawk fan. But I got to tell you, the Seahawks are struggling for yardage. Andrew Luck has looked phenomenal. They are throwing the football. They are running the football. And they are playing a lot better defense than people give them credit for. I'm taking the Colts getting 3 points at home in the dome from the Seahawks. Am I crazy?
No, I actually think this is kind of, I know this is going to sound nuts because I, like you, think the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. I think they're special. I love everything they do, and I'm a huge fan, and their fans are unparalleled when it comes to the passion each and every week at home. But I will tell you, this is one of my – I almost think this is a lock. I do, and I know that sounds crazy, but the Colts are maybe as underrated physical a team there is in this league. Everybody talks about Luck and – that they're finesse, they can do it. They will knock you smack dab in the mouth.
Right.
And Seattle plays like that too. I think the Colts are going to give them a little bit of the medicine and say, wait a minute, just like you saw the Colts through the 49ers in San Francisco, you're going to see them, Bradshaw or not, they will hit you. And I think Luck is special. I believe, not only do I think the points, I think Indianapolis wins the game at home. I think you're going to see them win this football game. Because as long as Luck has the ball enough times, I think they win. They can beat man coverage and they can beat zone. I like the Colts all the way around in this one, spread and winning at home straight up.
I'm feeling a lot better about that game now that was actually one of my top three plays today. I got one last game I want to talk to you about, and there are a couple of losers, but they're not always losers. The Eagles are at the Giants. The Eagles 1-3, the Giants 0-4. A lot of people think that if the Giants lose this game, there could be some wholesale changes. Tom Coughlin's had a rough time. It's not his fault. He's a great coach. He's probably a Hall of Fame coach. But the Eagles can move the football. The Eagles are running for 6 yards a carry. I just think the Eagles have too much offense for the Giants, and the Giants can't match the offense. I love the over here, though. It's 54 points, and I think it could go over in the first half. What do you think, Sean?
I completely agreed. Neither one of these teams right now, which is shocking because the Giants are always a pretty good defense, and they're down 4, usually rushes the passer, it'll give you all kinds of trouble. But they are miserable this year. They're not playing well. I would take the over in a heartbeat because neither defense plays well. The Eagles can't tackle me and you. And you know that the one thing, Eagles can run the football and throw it.
Right.
But even though the Giants aren't running, Eli may throw 50 times today, but he also may throw for 400 yards. I look for this to be a game in the 60s, and I would take the over on this game too. Could care less if it was snowing, raining, sleeting, sideways. Neither one of these, and that's an offensive advantage when it's bad weather, and it may be great weather in Philly today. I don't know, don't care. The Giants-Eagles game, no doubt I'm with you on the over on this. And I actually think the Giants could go in there and win this football game. I mean, it's in Philadelphia, is it not?
It's actually in New York. Yeah, it's in New York, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter with those two teams.
The over wouldn't matter if they played in the parking lot. They're going to take the over. And at home, I think the Giants finally get their first win because the two weaknesses right now, the Giants aren't playing great defense, but their defense, I think, when you look at player for player, is still better than the Eagles. I'm taking the Giants in this. And in the game, but in the over-under, you got to take the over in this, no doubt.
No, I got it. As usual, Sean Salisbury. Sean, I can't thank you enough for calling in and sharing your info with us. Hey, have a great workout with your kids today. This is Bruce Hall saying goodbye to Sean Salisbury. Sean, talk to you soon.
Bruce, thank you so much. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy that Seahawks game.
Yeah, you got it. It's going to be a great one. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You just heard the interview with Sean Salisbury breaking down the NFL, so I think that would be a perfect segue to get into our NFL plays.
I'm ready.
We both had Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland I had as a 5-star. I had the over as a 4-star, and the over ended up being the deal. And I got to tell you, if somebody had told me that both starting quarterbacks were going to go down, I don't know what I would have done, because their defense is tough. They, you know what? Their defense is a playoff defense right now. They really are. If they can, and I don't see Brandon Weeden being the guy.
No.
And neither does anybody in Cleveland. But you know what? Give the guy a benefit of a doubt. If they can coach him up a little bit, that's Steve Spurrier talk when he's not drunk. And I don't need to say that, but I'm kicking a man when he's down.
Spurrier.
But I've been sober 29 years, and I wouldn't go do my show if I was blowing up .20 or something. But anyway, and Steve's got his own problems. What's this guy's name? He's just decided he don't want to play football when he, you know, has sore ribs. Or I don't think anybody knew he wasn't going to play in the South Carolina game yesterday. And I know the alumni are crazy about that. Let's do this. Let's start out with New Orleans, Chicago. You know, this is a 1 o'clock start in Chicago. Now, you know, all that weather that's been hit in the Midwest is. Yeah, it's still kind of there. They're expecting rain. They're expecting chilly conditions at 1 o'clock. What do you want, Matt?
I just
want
to say it's awesome that there's a blizzard in the Midwest while we're having 90 degree October weather.
Well, let me explain something to you about the Midwest. I know you're a Democrat, so you probably don't know this, but South Dakota isn't considered the Midwest. Neither is North Dakota. Neither is Minnesota. That's where the snow is, Matt. Now, on to the football game. New Orleans and Chicago, two very good teams. New Orleans is the very good team. Chicago's the not-so-good team.
I really like Chicago.
I know, but you've loved Chicago forever. But here's the problem with Chicago right now.
They hurt me last week.
They're banged up. But I got to tell you, I like them in this spot. Now, I didn't play them. And I'm not going to play him in the net. Oh, by the way, if you want to see how Bruce Hall Sports, Bruce Hall of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, me, Bruce Hall, is doing in the National Handicappers
Bowl. Are you Bruce Hall?
Go to nhbowl.com. That's nhbowl.com. And you can see how some of the top handicappers in the country are doing. And if you don't like me, call one of the other guys. You know, they're probably cheaper than me anyway. If you want to talk to me about my plays, wait till noon on Sunday or call before 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Or call during the show.
Don't call during the show. Not not for my business. 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. Getting ready to smack you. This is the guy. Where were you? You were here last week.
No,
right?
I wasn't.
Oh, that's exactly.
Where was I? I was at the beach.
Who knows? Oh, yeah, you were at the beach. So anyway,
but you kept saying I was in Morgantown. Which
yeah,
I was cool.
Figured you were in Morgantown.
Like, which we won. We did win.
Yeah, you did win.
I'll be in Morgantown next weekend, though.
But anyway, I'm not taking Chicago. But if you're going to take a team, take Chicago. Didn't you say the same thing?
Yes, I like Chicago.
All right, next game. Matt, wake.
One job, Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Like, yeah, here we go. New England's at Cincinnati. This is basically a pick game. New England's a one-point favorite. I don't like the total in this game. The total in this game is a really, you know, it's not going to come down to that. Believe it or not, New England's defense is probably as good as their offense. Cincinnati has kind of let me down a little bit. I mean, they lost to Cleveland,
yeah,
at home 2 weeks ago, and then you know they just haven't looked that good. The problem that Cincinnati has is they can't score enough points, and
it's another weekend without Gronkowski.
Listen, I listened to a Belichick press conference on Thursday or Friday. You know what he said about Marvin Lewis? He gave him accolades. He said, he's been very consistent. Translation, I hope he sucks every year, because consistent isn't really in the NFL. What if you're consistently not in the playoffs? Oh, that's right. Cincinnati hasn't been in the playoffs in a long, long, long time. As a matter of fact, the last time I remember Cincinnati being any good was when Boomer Esiason took them to the Super Bowl.
They went to the playoffs a couple years ago.
Did they?
Yeah, they
did.
Won
they
the,
win
they,
a game? Oh, they haven't won a division. I'm sorry. They haven't won a playoff game since 1992.
They won the division.
They haven't won a playoff game a since 1992. Ago. Everybody gives Dallas a bunch of crap about that.
3 years
Dallas
ago.
At least did. They won Super Bowls in the mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. The Cincinnati Bengals, Bungles.
Did you hear that? What's his name? Michael Irvin came out and said that Tony Romo is the best quarterback in the NFL or in the NFC. I'm sorry.
I disagree. It's hard to say, because if Tony Romo played for the New Orleans Saints, would he be a lot better? Probably, because he's got a lot better coach, Jason Garrett. You know, Jason Garrett's terrible, by the way. He's horrible. And you know what? He's Jerry's adopted son, and he's going to be there forever. I got news for you guys. Even if you make the playoffs with your 7-9 record this year, and by the way, there's already talk. I'll tell you who I heard. The linebacker that played for Rex in Baltimore and in New York, he's now not playing in the NFL, and I can't think of his name to save my life. He was on Rodney Harrison's show this morning. He was unbelievable. He's one of the best guys I've ever listened to. He's that inside linebacker that played and won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis playing next door. And then when Rex went to New York, he went to New York.
Bart Scott?
Yes. He is phenomenal. If you ever get it, and he loves Rocky movies. All he was talking about were Rocky movies. But anyway, getting back to Cincinnati, New England's going to win this game. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. They're a better football team. And consistency doesn't buy you anything when you go up against Bill Belichick, but a loss. Next game, Matthew. You're so weird, Matt. Detroit and Green Bay. I don't use the word LOCK. I don't even say it. But this is my top play in totals today.
It's your straight cash homie of totals.
It's my straight cash homie of totals. Straight cash homie. Randy, I love you, buddy. I love you. Here's the thing with Detroit. They are improved. And what did we say, Roy, when the season started? If they didn't improve, Schwartz is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, because he should have been gone. I thought he should have been gone anyway. But they gave him another year because they gave Martin Mayhew another year. Yeah. And basically everybody in Detroit, for the most part, just decided that, you know what, we still have a pretty good team. We had a pretty good draft. Let's see how it comes out. So far, so good. Detroit is playing some ball. They beat Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something big. They beat him for the first time ever in D.C.
Well, and in Landover, Maryland.
And listen to this. Well, you know what I mean.
He's a sucker, Detroit. He's 7-1 in D.C.
Anyway, here's Green Bay now going up against them. They've got an extra week to prepare. Mm-hmm. You got the best quarterback in the league. You got maybe some of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah.
You don't have a very good defense, Green Bay. You got kind of a nicked up couple of guys, including Clay Matthews, who's got a bad hammy, but he's supposed to start.
Mm-hmm. And we're on different sides, aren't we?
I'm just taking the over. Why, you taking the under?
Well, I have Detroit.
I'm not taking Green Bay. I'm not giving 7 points to Detroit. Detroit could win this game. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, just because it's not going to happen. If this game was played in Detroit, yeah, they could win this game. And if this game was in Detroit, the line would be more like 2 or 3.
So is there, since there's snow in Minnesota, is there snow
No.
Here in Green Bay?
No, there's not.
Have we checked?
No, it's 50 degrees. If there's snow, you got no. It, supposedly, it's windy and it's partly cloudy in Green Bay. Let's go to the next game. But take the over in the Detroit-Green Bay game. Take the over in the Detroit
Mostly cloudy, 30% chance of light showers.
There you go. That's fine. Bay. Yeah, and that's for Green Bay, that's not bad. That's like summer.
That's
like the middle of summer in Green Bay.
It's a great day in Green Bay.
We've got Seattle, Indianapolis. This is one of the best games of the day by far. It's not even close. Seattle's 4-0. Everybody's got him winning the NFC right now. They had the best defense. They get Bruce, your boy Bruce.
Yeah, he's getting back today.
He gets back today. It can't hurt. They've had some problems with their offensive line, but I'm going to tell you, from a coaching standpoint in the NFL, especially in the NFC, nobody does a better job than Carroll and his coaches. Russell Wilson does whatever it takes to win. Last week they were out of it. They were losing 20-3. He comes back, ties it up. They win on a field goal. They're going up against a team that went into San Francisco and destroyed physically the San Francisco Giants a couple of weeks ago. I'm taking Indianapolis 49ers. At home. Listen, this is a potential Super Bowl game right here. Indianapolis in Seattle. Indy is getting 3 points at home in a dome. Take Indianapolis for 5 stars.
Really?
No, that's not my homie, okay. But it's one of my top homies. But I love the Colts here. I just think that now Ahmad Bradshaw's not going to play. He's probably done. He's got a neck problem now. They said it was a hamstring or a foot. It's a neck, so he could be out. But Trent Richardson, good thing they got him a couple of weeks ago. And by the way, how is that trade working out for both teams? How about pretty well?
Yeah, everyone called Cleveland crazy.
They're 3-0 without him.
Honestly, I'm still calling them a little crazy, but Willis McGahee had a good game.
3-0 without him. Please, people, take Indianapolis with 3 points at home, and you will be a winner. Next game, Matt. Baltimore, Miami. You know, Miami, I was on the right side of that game last week, but Miami was due to lose a game. And they were also, they're playing a little over their head, but I'll tell you what I liked about what I saw with Miami. I liked the defense. And against a Baltimore Raven team that's having trouble moving the football, except for throwing the ball to Torrey Smith. I mean, except for Torrey Smith, if it wasn't for Torrey Smith, would Baltimore have won any games? Probably not.
I mean, Ray Rice has been injured and not been himself.
And the backup.
There really isn't anybody else on that team. I mean, Jacoby Jones is too busy getting hit in the head by strippers.
Yeah, now he's back this week.
Is he back?
Well, he's
I heard it was 4 to 6 weeks.
I thought he was questionable. But anyway, if you check on it, probably not. But I'm going to take Miami here, and I'm going to take Miami because they're at home and because they seem to have whatever it takes. People, we'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFALs.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back.
Hey.
Hey, I love it. Roy looked at me and had this, like, inquisitive look on his face, so I went, we're back. Usually it's Roy. That's Roy's job.
I love the head nod. That always works well on radio. Hey,
we're back.
How's it going?
It's so weird not seeing. You know, Roy, you should bring that phone and look at your computer on your phone every week because I have more room on the table now.
You do have more room on the table.
I kind of need room. I don't need a lot of room, but I need
you
a little bit of
room. You sprawl out with every newspaper in town.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a newspaper guy. I love to read this stuff. Listen, you know, today, in my opinion, week five of the NFL is the best week of the NFL season so far. I just love the games. I mean, there's no way my young butt isn't going to be between my big TV in the living room and in the kitchen. I'm going to have one turned around. You know what we've got? We're not talking about President's Cup. Look, I'm a big golfer, and I played so bad yesterday. When I went to Herndon Municipal, played 18 holes. It was nice. Went to a leukemia and lymphoma walk last night. Big fundraiser at the Reston Town Center last night. Walked 2 miles, supposedly. It seemed more like 3/4 of a mile. I'd like to thank everybody for not making us walk the whole way because there was a lot of people. Raised a lot of money for lymphoma and leukemia, two of the biggest killers in the country. You know, back when I was young, you know, teens, 20s, even 30s, you know, when someone got cancer, it was like a weird thing. It was different. You know, it was like, oh, man, he's got cancer. Now, everybody seems to be getting cancer. And I don't mean everybody. I mean a lot more people and a lot of that comes to be with getting old.
It's becoming more frequent.
It is becoming more frequent. And of course, we're figuring out ways to defeat it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best ways you can defeat it is just basically going after it, you know, doing a lot of reading, making sure that you get the best care possible.
Yeah.
And
cooking
believe me, then we could start a five-hour show on healthcare situation in the United States. If you go to my Facebook page, go to Bruce Hall Sports. It's on YouTube, but there's some guy that's one of the funniest and most knowledgeable guys I've ever listened to about healthcare and why we have a healthcare problem in our country. Go to it. It's interesting stuff. All right, Matt, let's get ready for the next one. Now, we left off with the Miami Dolphins and the Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, Miami, obviously, their arrow is pointing up. Baltimore's is pointing
not
down.
So much,
we're taking
yeah.
Miami yep. minus the 3 points. Go to the next one, Matt. Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. For you Giant fans, you know, depends on who you talk to today. Nobody's feeling very good about Jerry Reese and the New York Giants and Eli Manning. Eli is starting to find out what Archie went through in New Orleans when they couldn't win a game no matter what Archie did. Run, throw, get knocked out of the game, come back in. Just didn't have the athletes. It's not that the Giants don't have the athletes. They don't have the athletes playing, and they don't have the defensive athletes available.
Well, they ship them off everywhere.
Well, they just got Beeson, a middle inside linebacker from Carolina, where he wasn't starting anymore. That tells you how Carolina's roster is beefed up a little bit.
Well,
if you let a Beeson go.
OCU Mignore is in Atlanta. Chris Canty's in Baltimore.
Right.
I mean, you can't let that many key pieces. I know that everyone talked about how great their front seven was, but you can't let that many pieces go. And even on the offensive side of the ball, you know, you let Mario Manningham go out to San Francisco, which a lot of people thought was
he's not even healthy
well, yeah,
right
he's
now,
he's banged
is he?
Up out there, but still, I mean, he was a key piece
yes, he was.
To that offense.
Oh, he and Peyton were a major part. So was Cruz. Look, when you win a Super Bowl, it's a perfect storm. Let's face it. And last year for the Ravens, I mean, it was more than a perfect storm to win it because nobody thought they were going to beat San Francisco, and they did.
Well, nobody thought they were going to beat Denver.
Well, that's for sure, too. And see, now Denver's more than – you know, Peyton obviously is –
Peyton's mad.
Yeah, he's pissed. I mean, you don't want Peyton Manning mad at you, and he's mad. We're going to talk about his game later, but we've already – but let's talk about the Eagles here. A lot of problems in Philadelphia, obviously. Andy Reid got out at the right time. Who would have thought me and you, Roy, because we said this, it was a great time to leave Philly. It would be perfect for Andy. He needed to get away. He just lost his son and, you know, training camp to a horrible death. They didn't have the players on the roster to be able to do what they wanted to do. They had a lot of guys leave. They had a lot of injuries last year, too. And now, even though they're leading the league in yards per carry, it's 6.1. Yard, I mean, you know, you think just keep giving the ball to the guy. But, you know, they're running the read option. They're right. basically running an offense that nobody can stop. But they also are running a play every 17 to 20 seconds instead of every 35 seconds. And it's kind of when they go three and out, I mean, they go three and out fast, and their defense gets back on the field before they got anything to drink or looked at any film. Right, because they take pictures, you know, of all the offensive
sets. Not supposed to, but yes, everybody does it.
No, no, they do. They come from up top. What I'm saying is that's how they make adjustments in between. And when you're only on the field for 2 minutes, you know, you like I said, the defense gets their helmets and they run back on the field, and they get a little tired after a while. Against the Giants, I'm thinking that they're not going to have to worry so much because the Giants are not running the football. The Giants are getting some yardage passing, but they're turning the ball over. Their offensive line is in disarray. They got guys injured. They got guys gone. They got guys that are thinking about retiring. If you can read through the New York Post, the New York Daily News, you can read in papers anywhere in the country, Associated Press, and you'll find articles about the Giants. You know, I love the Giants. A lot of people think I don't. It's just John Mara I can't stand. But the Giants, I like the Giants. I like Eli Manning. You know, I don't like Tiki Barber. I like Rondé Barber. Wish he was a Giant.
The Giants are the third worst team in New York right now.
I just showed Roy my, you know, the USA Today Weekly, which is what every handicapper has to buy at least one of. Buy one to tear up and write all your changes and rankings. Buy another one to have when you can't find the other one and redo it. You should handicap the games every day, every other day. And I'm telling you, I showed them the Giants have a big S with a circle on it. That means they suck. That means they're one of the – there's only three teams in the league that suck. Jacksonville, them, and I think who the
Tampa
Giants
Bay?
Are playing. No. It's you know what? It's not Philly. Philly's okay -. No, it wasn't Tampa Bay. But there's
Oakland?
No, it's not Oakland either. There's only three teams in the NFL that suck, and they're the bottom three, you know, that I have ranked. And right now – no matter where they play, I've never thought.
I think Tampa Bay sucks.
Their organization may suck. They have some decent players. I mean, and they have Darrelle Revis. Just having him keeps them from sucking defensively. But here's what I see happening with New York. When they go out on the field, that is not a home field for them. I mean, unless they jump out to a 14-0 league, there is no advantage playing in the Meadowlands. Whatever they call that stadium, I don't even care. You know, my point is they're going to probably get booed. MetLife. They're going to be booed if they go down. If they make mistakes, if they turn the ball over, there are going to be boos, and it's not a home field advantage. Philadelphia takes a bus up here yesterday afternoon, does their walkthrough in the parking lot, eats dinner, goes to bed at midnight, gets up, and they're playing today. That is going to be – now, that's a 1 o'clock game. So they're already there. Mm-hmm. They're warming up. They're getting taped up. They're getting ready to play a game. If Philadelphia jumps out in front in this game, they're going to win easily. I'm taking Philly in this game.
I
had to.
I originally wrote down
better,
the Giants.
They're a better team than the Giants.
I originally wrote down the Giants to win this game just because of looking at the two franchises. But there is no way that you can pick the Giants right now. They are in shambles.
They're a good team
terrible.
To pick against. If you're a handicapper, the Giants are a good team to look at and know that you're going to probably get you're going to know what kind of performance you're going to get. You're going to get beat up on offense, and you're going to get beat up on defense.
Now, this could be one of those games where the Giants finally get their act together and come out and fly all over the place.
If you can't against Philly, you can't do it against anybody because they can't tackle.
Yes. So if there were to be a game where the Giants respond, it's this one. But I don't see it happening. I see Philadelphia.
Roy, remind me to go back to the Giants-Eagles game when we get back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're running down the Philadelphia-New York game
right
now.
Thanks for coming back to this, Roy.
You're welcome. I wanted to remind you.
Hey, bring that. I'm going to bring my phone. I can't see a phone. I don't know. Your eyes are just good young eyes.
I put on an eye patch the other day. Avery, my son, has this little dress-up box with, like, pirate stuff in
He's a pirate.
And,
like, I love it.
East
Carolina.
Stuff.
Go Pirates.
And I put his eye patch on over my right eye. And,
it's hard.
You know, I can't see anything out of my left eye. Everything was blurry.
I'm the
and
same
I
way.
I moved my eye patch to the left, or the eye patch to my left eye, and my right eye is crisp. So now I'm getting.
I'm exactly
that was the first
the same
time
way.
That I realized I was getting old.
Well, so. let me tell you, you always have a dominant eye anyway, but my right eye has been dominant for a long time too, and I got a astigmatism in my right eye, but I can see better straight ahead out of my right eye.
Yeah, it was a very,
not that anybody that's listening to the show gives a damn about that.
It was a very depressing time with my son.
Listen,
I must say.
Here's the play of the day. One of my top plays of the day, again, is 5 stars on the over in the New York-Philly game, because there is going to be a lot of offense, Roy, in this game. And you know what? It's not going to just – these defenses are not going to bang the offenses. They're not going to beat up on the offense. The offenses are going to run up and down the field. I would say at halftime the score is going to be 20-17, 23-17. Don't even know who's ahead because it won't matter till the end of the game. But there's going to be at least, in my opinion, 60 points scored in this game. Mm-hmm. And the over-under is 54. Take the over for 5 stars. Next game, man.
Yeah, the over-under has actually moved down.
Which is fine.
If you can believe that.
Well, I love it. I love it. You know what that means? You know why? Because the public is usually wrong. And a lot of the public play right now. Jacksonville at St. Louis. This is really a pretty lousy game.
Yeah.
The St. Louis Rams are not that good. They showed what they were like last week when they got kind of beat up all over the field. You know, obviously Jacksonville's the worst team in the league.
If you look, they're the worst team in the SEC conference.
Well, you know what? They're slightly
bad.
Better than Wake Forest.
I think
they could beat Wake Forest, but. In the ACC.
Maybe.
Well, you know, I saw Wake Forest score a touchdown yesterday and almost made a phone call to one of my best friends who went there just to say, Wake Forest scored! Wake Forest scored! But the Rams are going to win this game. Not only are they going to win this game, this is a great opportunity for a triple because the line's only 11. Mm-hmm. And
it opened up at 7.5. So yeah,
they were betting it up. That number was wrong. Look, when you average losing by 23 points a game, you should never be 11-point underdogs. Mm-hmm. You should be a 15 to 25 or 30-point underdog.
On the road, too.
They have not scored yet. I mean, they haven't covered yet in the entire season.
They scored their first touchdown last week.
Yeah,
right?
Don't look for the Jacksonville Jaguars to start today by covering the point spread. Take the Rams for 4 stars and just – tell them Bruce told you to do it. Next game, man. I don't know. You know, just getting too close to that game, Roy, makes me sick. This is a great game. Kansas City and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I went to Vegas. One of the biggest reasons I went out there was to play
futures.
Mm-hmm. And my biggest future out there was Kansas City Chiefs because I'm a big Andy Reid fan. They had 5 All-Pro players in the
They already had the talent. They just didn't have any coaching.
They had the worst coaching staff in football.
And now you look where Todd Haley is now and look how good their football team is.
Yeah, well, it's not just Todd Haley. I mean, it was a lot of different things. I blame Romeo Crennel. He's a terrible head coach. And by the way, Charlie Weiss is just as bad. He's at Kansas and he can't stay within 40 points of anybody. Isn't that the Big 12, Kansas?
Yeah. Kansas is the Big 12, yes.
I mean, you know, that's somebody West Virginia should beat.
They're a basketball school, yeah.
By the way. But listen, Kansas City may win this game and they may cover. But even with me loving the Kansas City Chiefs, this is the game I see them losing. Now, everybody's going to say, yeah, but Jake Locker just went out last week. I mean, they've lost their quarterback. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick, people. The guy started 68 NFL games in a row in Buffalo. He played in Buffalo. It's like dying and going to heaven going to Tennessee, okay? I think what's going to happen here is it's going to be a very low-scoring game because it's going to be a very conservative game, a lot of running on both sides. I watched tape today. And by the way, if you don't watch NFL Network and watch AFC and NFC playbook, you're missing the boat. That's a great show. Chris Johnson has basically not been letting his linemen set up their blocks. He's so quick anyway, and he has a tendency to try to outrun his blocking. If the Tennessee Titans score first and they can get a lead in this game, I think they win. Plus, they're getting 3 points. You know, this is Bruce Hall. I you know me, Roy. Mm-hmm. I'm a favorite guy. I don't play a lot of dogs. I'm playing a bunch of dogs today, and one of them is this home dog in Tennessee. I'm taking the Titans plus the 3 for 4 stars to beat the Chiefs and give them their first loss of the season. Next game. You know, I like this game too, but it's a couple of teams are going different directions. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Jess Root would kill me. And I should call Jess and get him on the show for next segment. He's an Arizona beat writer. He's a great one. The Cardinals are having problems. One of the biggest problems they're having, if you look at their team, is they don't have anybody to go. Still, they don't have anybody to go with Larry Fitzgerald. He's getting double teamed. He's still catching some passes. But to me, it looks like, you know, even though Bruce Arians is there, and this should be a better offense, you know, for Carson Palmer, he's struggling in this offense. He's getting off late, and he's not a real mobile guy. So if he sits in the pocket, if everybody's covered, he either throws the ball away, makes a bad pass, or he gets sacked. What I see happening in this game is I see a team that had an extra week to prepare, the Carolina Panthers, because they got the early bye week, okay? And by the way, the Panthers barely lost to Seattle opening day, 12-7. This is a team that has a defense, okay? They have such a good defense, they let Beeson go to the New York Giants because they didn't need him anymore, and this is a starting inside linebacker in the NFL. I'm taking the Panthers because they're only favored by 1.5. They're favored over Arizona. At Arizona by 1.5. The odds makers are trying to talk you into Arizona here. I'm taking Carolina, and I'm giving the points, but only for 3 stars. What do you think, Roy?
I think it's Arizona. I see the line at 2.5. I mean, I'm sure you can get it at 1 somewhere out there. You probably get it at 3 somewhere. But here...
Well, if you take Arizona, you don't want it at 3.
Yeah. No, it's plus 3.
Well, Arizona. I want plus 3.
Yeah, I like Arizona with the plus. So I think that Larry Fitzgerald, yes, he's a top receiver, and he's going to get the double teams from the Carolina secondary. But the Carolina secondary has as little weapons as Arizona has weapons on the offensive side of the football. So I think that you're going to look for a guy like Michael Floyd to have a big day for the Arizona Cardinals. Mendenhall, if he's going to get going, this is the day that you kind of want him to get going. I just think that the Carolina Panthers are more self-destructive than they are good. And, I mean, they blew out the Giants, but who really are the Giants?
One of the things I read earlier in the week, Roy, was in 2 games at Arizona, Cam Newton has thrown for like 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and averaged like 264 yards passing and 70 yards rushing. Just I'm for some reason, you know, some stadiums, that's a great stadium, by the way. Now, it doesn't get terribly loud there because if you know anything about Arizona, everybody's from everywhere. There's more people from Canada there probably than from anywhere else in the United States, which, you know.
But were those 2 games before or after the Arizona Cardinals added Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger?
Well, it's probably when the Arizona Cardinals were about – the Cardinals aren't going to go to the playoffs this year. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way, the Honey Badger does make plays, you know, but he's like a good D'Angelo Hall. He's like a fast D'Angelo Hall. He's going to make plays and take chances, but just as many times, he may get burned.
Right.
I think it's going to be a great game, and this is a good reason to leave this game alone because Roy and I can't even get together on it. Give me the next game, Matthew. Denver, Dallas. God, let me tell you.
We're both on the same side of this.
Yeah. You know, I
just play the music on a loop here.
Okay. You know, Tony Romo might be. Who was it that said that? Troy Aikman.
Michael Irvin.
Well, you know, Troy Aikman said the same thing earlier this year about Romo. And you know what? You like Romo.
I like Romo,
and so do I.
I mean, I don't like him because he's a cowboy, but I like him as a quarterback.
Can I tell you what? You brought me around to Romo last year. I started reading about him. He's got Hall of Fame numbers already.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to play another 3, 4, 5 years in the league. Mm-hmm. He's probably 32 maybe, something like that. I mean, he's 31, 32 years old. He's been the Dallas starting quarterback for a long time. And this is a guy that's from a small college in Wisconsin somewhere. I like Tony Romo, I think it might be Illinois. I might have just messed that up. I think he's from Wisconsin. He went to school at Northern Illinois or Southern Illinois.
Can we look it up?
Yeah, please do, because I hate not knowing. It's terrible. The thing I like about this game is I love the action offensively we're going to see. Yeah, you know, Matt disagrees with me. Matt and I talked about this game before you even got here, Roy, which, you know, we have hours.
Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, I told you. God, the old man hasn't lost it yet. Yeah, he went to Eastern Illinois, which is not a division. It's a Division I school, but barely, okay?
And he's been in the league since 2004.
Yeah, and you know what? This would be his 10th year in the league, so he's probably 32 years old.
He is...
There's a vibrator
33
somewhere.
33 years old.
Oh, it's my phone. Sorry. The thing I like about this game, Peyton Manning is setting records. 16 touchdowns, no interceptions, 138 point rating, right? Quarterback rating overall.
Peyton Manning has broken records. The quarterback rating.
He's broken everything. Here's what I like about this game. I like the offense. We're going to see a lot of offense. I'm taking the over in this game, even though it's 57.
57 and a half,
and if you
yeah.
listen to what Sean said, every time you see a ridiculous over like this, it usually goes over. And he's right, because people are trying to talk him into the under. Matthew thought, and I agreed with you at the time, this could be because Denver does have a good defense, and Dallas's offense is good but not great.
It's good enough.
It could end up being a 33-13 game Denver. You know
it
what
could.
I mean? So I'm going to take the over anyway for 3 stars. And you guess what I'm taking for 4 stars? Denver.
Yeah.
I've been in that stadium when the Jacksonville Jaguars behind David Garrard have won by 30 points. There is no home field advantage in Dallas.
No.
Now, they've won 2 home games, but they've played 2 suck teams. To get those 2 wins, they're not playing a suck team this afternoon.
No.
It's actually a night game, right? That's tonight.
It is a 4:25 game.
Oh, it's an afternoon game. God, that's going to be great. You know, the way that I tell you, the NFL's got to be working with Vegas, because they've got this all designed so that you can – there's this X amount of 1 o'clock games, and all of a sudden there's
and
this
as soon
game.
As you lose all your money on the 1 o'clock now games, you have a chance to blow it all on
Yeah,
Peyton.
You can lose twice as much money. Right. Not that you would be using money.
Oh, no.
No, that's just speculative.
Of course, right.
Let's go to the next game, but take the over in that
yes,
game.
Yes, that's my straight
and by
cash.
The way,
that was actually my straight cash.
Denver?
Yeah, Denver.
All right.
You got to bet Denver until the until
Well, you know what? I'm getting ready for my straight cash homie, San Francisco, here in a second. Oh, by the way, we just happened to be. Houston is at San Francisco. We might not have time. I love that song. Isn't that great?
It's a great song.
Let me tell you something. The 49ers are fun to watch. They really are. Frank Gore is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
How's he going to make it through an entire season carrying it 300 times? Because he's going to carry the ball at least 300 times.
They got Coffee, or I think is their backup.
Well, they also got Williams. You know, but they use Williams on sprint draws. They use him on little screen passes, little swing passes. And they do have Colin Kaepernick, who, by the way, are you starting him on your fantasy team? Did I talk you out of it?
I mean, you kind of have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who was your other guy? And everybody
other guy
else
is
talking.
Yeah, my other guy is Eli Manning.
Hey, call in, will you?
Let me know.
Hey,
who's your start?
240-317-7294. What was it? 240-317-7294.
Yeah.
Tell us, should he start Eli tonight?
Or Colin Kaepernick.
Or today, or Colin Kaepernick. I told him to start Eli because I think they're going to go up and down the field. I really do. How could Eli have a worse game than he's had recently? He can't. And how can you have a bad game against Philadelphia? You can't. It's impossible. They don't have anybody playing defense.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody playing defense. Sounds like we're going to end up coming back to this 49er game. The thing I don't like about Houston right now is I don't like Matt Schaub. They're calling him Matt Schlob now in Houston. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly fast. You picked him to go to the Super Bowl, didn't you?
I did.
You know what? What did I say?
I thought
they were. Didn't I tell you that I don't see it?
I still think they're a very balanced football team. I just.
We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're running down our NFL plays here. Bruce just had his straight cash, homie, which followed mine. So now you...
I haven't even said why. San Francisco is going to beat them up physically. They're going to run the football for, in my opinion, they're going to get between 150 and 200 yards rushing today. And I think by running the football, Kaepernick, it's going to open up his passing lanes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing okay. Bolden is their guy.
He is.
But
that brotherly trade right there is...
But you know what? It's also not... He's not getting a lot of separation.
Well, he never really has.
It'll work out better for them when they can bring some of the other guys into the fray.
He needs a deep threat on the other side.
But let me tell you, this is a part... You know, Houston's arrow's pointing down. San Francisco this week's got to be pointing up. I'm taking them. They're only 6-point favorites at home. When was the last time that happened?
Mm-hmm.
How about not in a long time? I don't see Houston even being in this game in the second half. I'm taking San Francisco. This is my straight cash homie play.
Straight cash homie.
You know, we could play that once. We could play it 100 times. I'd never get sick of it.
Straight cash homie.
I'm telling you, I love that.
Anyway,
they're what's that? Anyway, next game, Matthew, San Diego and Oakland. Thank you, Matt. You just kicked me in the
good effort.
Nads.
Good effort.
This is Sunday night game. San Diego, who, you know, believe what you read about Phillip Rivers. All he is so happy to be gone, rid of Norv Turner. He doesn't know what to do. Now, he's never had a bad thing to say about Norv. He loves Norv. But I don't think that vertical passing game that Norv had was a good
fit for offense. His pistol arm.
Well, it's not only that, but he's got to hold the ball. You know what? He has to hold the ball too long, and he's not exactly what we would call mobile.
No.
Phillip Rivers is not Ben Roethlisberger. When you hit Phillip Rivers, he goes down. I mean, he goes down like a sack of potatoes. But I got to say this, he's happy. He's got Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Is having a great start. Matt's so excited because he's on his fantasy team. And you better activate him today because he's probably going to get you. Oh, Matt has to talk.
I have him in another league.
Go ahead, Matt. Yeah. Tell us why Danny Woodhead's
I've
good.
I've actually picked him up twice now because he sucked for me the first two weeks.
That's why he was
dropped
still there.
And then he had his great game. I was like, all right, I'll give him the second chance.
Right.
And now
one more
him in the
try,
game.
Danny.
Yeah, he got picked up in the past game, so he's like a fourth receiver.
Yeah.
I'll take him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they get Terrell Pryor back, and I think if Terrell Pryor had been there for last week against the Redskins, could have been a different ending for the Redskins.
Maybe.
Well, it would have been closer because he gives you so much. I like two plays here, and the nice thing about this – oh, by the way, if you want to watch this game, you might want to tape it. It's 11:35 Eastern time tonight.
Yeah.
This is the other Sunday night game.
Well, Matt stays up all night and sleeps all day, so he doesn't care. Matt,
I'm looking.
What do you love
to
about
four,
this?
Can I see four games in one day?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm gonna see them.
That's my
fall asleep on the
dream.
Couch every night at 10:30 anyway. So I probably won't even see the end of the night game.
Well, I have Sunday ticket, so I watch. You know, because I'm a super fan.
Can I tell you what's great about Red Zone? If you've got is Red Zone.
I have Red Zone.
NFL too. Red Zone. Yeah. It's not just a thing with.
No, I have Red Zone.
You know what? That you got to tape Red Zone all day.
I got Red
and
Zone.
And then
on
if
one
you
want to
watch a game, you watch a game. But then you go back like the next day and watch Red Zone. You go, oh, that's how they did that. Oh, that's how they got to the 20. Oh, boy, that was a close field goal. You know?
I got Red Zone on one TV, and then I got Sunday Ticket on the other TV, and I'm dual handed channel changers. But apparently today my wife has some party at the house, so yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
But when
Redskins
you're
bye week, so that means party.
Can I ask you a question? Is it a girl party?
Yes.
Well, you know what?
That's my wife's having a party.
I mean, there's gonna be.
It's like the makeup stuff.
There's gonna be a lot of girls there.
Probably, yeah.
You're not going to watch. You're not going to be.
Hope there's not a lot of dudes there.
You're not going to be watching a whole
party.
You're not going to be.
This will hide your Adam's apple.
You're not going to be. You're not going to be watching a lot of football. You're going to watch a lot of girls. Is what you're.
I'm
going
to
be
watching my son upstairs in our room on with a small TV.
Anyway, let's go to the Monday night game while we're at it, and we're going to recap everything in the last segment. This isn't the last segment.
Great game, by the way.
The Jets and the Falcons. Thanks for that.
It's like, almost as good as Browns Bills on Thursday night.
Yeah, but that was it. Yeah, but you know what I like? You know what I liked about that Browns Bills game for the first time all season. Mm-hmm. The Thursday night game had some energy. I mean, both teams went at it so hard that both starting quarterbacks got hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
And I got to tell you something. There's a lot of people in the league that don't agree with a Thursday night game because you really don't even get a chance to practice.
And that it's on NFL Network, so you got to pay for it to get it.
What?
You got to upgrade your cable provider.
Evidently, they had some pretty good ratings the other night, but look at Tony. I'm trying to get Tony Mazur to call in. Tony, if you're calling, I want your pick. And he just gave me his pick. I'm not even gonna say it. I'm gonna let him say it when he calls in.
You have to call in, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, come on, call in.
Is he big leaguing? We want.
No, he's not. He's probably
big leaguing us, Tony.
He might be texting at church. That's almost as bad as texting when you're driving.
Do the Indians play today?
No, they're done, dude. Where have you been? The Indians got beat.
You know how much I care about baseball.
Can I tell you what?
When the Nationals are out, I don't care anymore.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
I watch the Pirates.
Well, then don't give your picks. Well, look,
give a pick.
Yeah, but listen.
Did you notice I didn't give
for
a pick?
For all of you people out there that follow Roy on Sports Man Cave and read his baseball picks, take them with a grain of salt because he don't care about baseball. He just said it on national radio.
Yeah. Well, you find the last time I did a baseball pick.
You made a pick with me 3 weeks ago when the regular season was still going. We picked every game.
When the regular season was still going.
Oh, God.
Washington Nationals are still in. You know what? You're heavily involved.
You're
unbelievable. I'm sorry. I'm just not heavily involved in baseball anymore.
All right. First of all, the Jets defense is for real. They're playing really well, I think. Their offense, they got a guy from West Virginia quarterback, so they suck on offense. They really don't have a chance to do anything.
Eugene, he's my boy.
Let me tell you, the Falcons are favored by 10. I don't think it's 10 anymore. I think it's down to like
– I still see 10.
Well, you know what? Here, are you looking at 10?
Yeah.
You know what? Take the Jets because the Falcons suck too. They're really not that good. Now, I will say this about the Falcons. You know what? The Jets aren't going to let them get that far ahead of them.
I don't know. There's so much
but,
talent.
You know, here's
I feel like every week we sit here and we say, the Falcons have so much talent.
Do you know what I like about this game? The under. It's going to go under. What's 40, the total?
44. Hasn't moved at all.
I like the under, and I'll tell you why. The Jets aren't going to score much. And
39% like the under.
Atlanta is going to win. Is that right? That means the boys win if it hits the under. So take the under. You know, here's the score of this game, 27-10, Atlanta. It's going to be a boring Monday night game. Matter of fact, don't even watch it. There's probably a good – oh, you know what? You know who's
He'll
on?
Do something else on
no,
Monday night.
No, you know what's on Monday night? Uh-uh. Pittsburgh, National League playoffs.
The Voice is on Monday night, isn't it?
You tape The Voice. You don't watch that. You want to watch –
isn't The Voice?
And NCIS is the on.
That's a good one.
Isn't The Voice on every – NCIS is on –
Voice is on Mondays
Tuesday
and Tuesdays, I believe.
I don't watch it, actually.
Voice is on Monday, Tuesdays.
Yeah, but Tuesday is Sons of Anarchy.
What's the guy – oh, I don't even watch the Sons of Anarchy. That's a joke. It's a joke.
I quit.
It's a joke. You can quit.
I'm out.
Go right ahead. There's no paperwork to sign. You can just walk out. Anyway, in his last three meetings, look, we were talking about Oakland and San Diego. I want to say this real quick. In the last three meetings with the Raiders, Phillip Rivers has passed for 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. Pryor is averaging 66 rushing yards per game. In the Jets game, Geno Smith, it just says here he sucks. Geno Smith. Here he goes. The Jets quarterback, Geno Smith, like most rookies, sucks on the road. In two road starts, he has 1 TD with 5 interceptions, so he sucks. And 2 lost fumbles, which means he really sucks. Don't expect him to start shining under the lights Monday night because he sucks. That was in USA Today. I'm just kidding. I added the sucks part.
Yeah.
Need to know, Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones leads the NFL, Roy, with 481 receiving yards and has 3 consecutive 100-yard games.
Huh.
I don't see that stopping.
No.
But you know what I do see? You know what they've had a hard time doing? They've had a hard time stopping the run, Atlanta.
So you're saying Bilal Powell is going to have a big day.
I think. Well, if you've got Bilal Powell on your fantasy team, I'd take him.
I traded him. and Bolden.
My son's got him.
I traded Bilal Powell and Anquan Bolden to my wife. For Colin Kaepernick. And now I'm playing her this week.
There's no way you did that.
I did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't.
I did do that.
I can't wait to get home and watch the Eagles and the Giants and see who scores gets to 40 first. Whoever gets to 40 points in the Eagles-Giants game first wins the game. Do you? Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning or who is the other guy?
Kaepernick.
People, call in. Tell Eli. Tell Roy to take Eli. He won't believe me.
I think I'm leaning Kaepernick at this point.
You're on drugs.
Just because Eli.
You need a drug test.
I mean,
you're a government worker. You need a drug test.
Bruce, can't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jets Falcons. You know, do you think Sanchez is ever going to be okay? And will he be a number three or a number two quarterback somewhere?
Sanchez, no. He will be on another roster somewhere. Because, let's face it, Matt Leinart still has a roster spot somewhere. So, Sanchez will get another roster spot. Whether or not we see him and he's a name in the NFL going forward, I doubt it.
I'm worried about Mark Sanchez. He looks like he's a troubled soul. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back. We're going to recap our picks here for the day for those of you who are just joining us.
All right, we're going to start out with New England Bengals game. I passed on it. It's too close to call. Could go either way. Patriots are probably the better team, definitely the better offense. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's at home. I'm passing on the game.
Right? I like New England. It's a pick game. But I made this pick when I thought that Gronkowski was in. He's not. So.
All right, Detroit's at Green Bay. This is my straight cash homie totals game of the week.
Cash, you know,
see? Detroit, Green Bay, over 55 points. I love that. It could go over 55 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Take that. What do you think?
I have the over as well. Detroit
plus seven.
Yes, I do have Detroit plus seven.
I don't blame you. It's a good play.
Oh, Reginald.
Seattle at Indianapolis. This is one of my surprise underdog plays. I took Indianapolis at home plus three against a Seattle team that I love, but it's time for them to lose a game, and they're not going to lose at home, unfortunately, because you can't, you know, they're going to win every game at home. I'm taking Indianapolis and Mr. Irsay, Jimmy Irsay, who's my Twitter buddy, and I'm taking them to not only cover but win outright.
I have the Hawks.
All right, Baltimore Ravens, Roy's favorite team last year, not so much this year, at the Miami Dolphins. I'm taking the Dolphins. Yeah. They're minus three, but I think they're going to cover this spread, and I think that Baltimore's just that bad on the road. I really do. They're not that good of a team. Roy, you're right. They're not that good of a team.
Yeah, they're not.
Philadelphia Eagles are at the New York Giants. We love this game just because it's Philly and New York.
I mean, let's be honest. I love all things Philadelphia.
If you've listened to our show, you know that's an outright lie. But I got to say, we do love New York. We do. We love New York. We love Westchester County. We love WFAS. I love everything about the city, but I don't like them today. I'm taking Philadelphia to win this game outright because all they got to do is win by two to cover. And I love the over. It's going to go over no matter what.
54.
It's going to go over 54 by the end of the third quarter. Tell them Bruce Hall told you that. Roy, do you like either side? You like New York.
I like Philadelphia.
Oh, you changed your mind.
No,
I changed you. Okay.
No, I never had the Giants.
Oh, that's what I – you didn't? Okay. No. Jacksonville sucks. They're at St. Louis. This will be the only time St. Louis is ever an 11-point favorite this year. And they're going to cover the spread. Roy, do you agree or disagree?
Yes, Rams. Right, Jacksonville's good. Not a real team.
They're not. Well, they're not. They're kind of a pretend team. We got a phone call. Oh, it's Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hey, who's this? You're on the air. Welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
This is Tony Mazur giving you guys a call here.
Tony Mazur, WKRK in Cleveland. Tony, I had to get to you. Thank you for supporting my my decision to play the Browns this past week. What you didn't know is I also played the over, and we hit them both, Tony.
Nice.
We hit them Absolutely. Both. We were going to talk about Jim Brown until you decided not to do that, and I don't blame you because he's a great guy, whatever. I was just trying to figure out how they got him back. And
what happened was there was a big controversy a couple of years ago, and we've talked at great length about Mike Holmgren and what he did to destroy.
We hate it. We hate him now.
He set the Browns back.
He's arrogant.
And what happened was there was a, I think it was in 2010, it was Holmgren's first year in charge of whatever he was doing, and he did something to piss Jim Brown off, like underpaid him for whatever role he's currently doing now, and Jim Brown wanted nothing to do with it. The problem is, because Holmgren came into Cleveland like he was Vince Lombardi on a white stallion, people turned against Jim Brown and said, this guy's irrelevant, he's had personal problems, which are well documented, that you can look up, allegedly throwing women off of hotel.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Hey, yeah. Nowadays they just beat them up.
Those women survived, right?
Yeah, they're fine. They probably got paid off. I mean, what's the problem? Now, let me tell you something. I've always been a Jim Brown fan. I love Jim Brown. I love to watch him play. He was a great athlete, wonderful guy. You know, he had a lot going on. I mean, the early African American, and I guess that's politically correct. I say black because I'm 60. The early black, you know, athletes really had to, they had to do a lot of work to get, you know, to get things done, and they did. And Jim Brown was definitely one of those guys. He wasn't scared of the spotlight, but in a lot of ways, Tony's kind of a shy guy. Hey, real quick before we lose you like Kansas City today?
Yes. I was looking for an upset. I was looking for something, and I couldn't find it this week.
Do you know how many dogs I took this week? One of them was Tennessee at home against Kansas City. Now listen, Tony, you know I went to Vegas on purpose to play Kansas City as many times as I could,
as opposed to going to Vegas on accident.
Yeah, and Tony, I fell asleep at like 11 o'clock every night. I swear to God, I did. But listen. Here's why I don't like them today. They got to lose sooner or later. This is a great spot for them to lose. They're not going to, I just don't see Kansas City isn't going to lose. They're like Seattle at home. They're not going to lose. They're going to win at home. Do you understand? Yeah. Tennessee is much better, and they're very good defensively. I see a very low scoring game, and maybe, just maybe, Kansas City not having enough to win this game. Plus, they're favored over Tennessee at home. I took Tennessee plus the points.
I'm with you, though, Tony.
But you know what, Tony? If you're right, more power to you. I'm going to listen to you next week, okay?
Hey. Well, speaking of which, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but that Ohio State game, and I sent you the message.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
I couldn't believe that. We're watching it because it was 34-30. And Northwestern
cover was a lock, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it was 7 or 7.5.
7.5.
And all of a sudden, this 4-point game goes into a 10-point game on the last play. It was a botched lateral, and Ohio State recovers in the end zone.
Well, that happened.
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen, and that's
or not good
if
for
you,
me.
If you're watching that game, and by the way, I loved Northwestern, but I didn't play them. I only played 5 games yesterday, and they were the 5 games where people literally assaulted other teams.
They're like 14-3 in their last 17 games.
Tony, you see my tweets. I'm going to take Oregon until they don't cover, because I think Oregon could cover a 70-point. If Oregon has a 69-point number next week, I'm taking them. I don't care, because they can score 70. Baylor's the same way. Oh, by the way, Roy is. There are toothless assassins out looking for Roy right now.
They want me dead
for Morgantown,
because I speak the truth that Dana needs to go, and they hate me.
I was looking back at old games that were blown or spreads that were blown from games, and one of them, I think it was almost like 20 years ago. It was Jacksonville against New Orleans, and New Orleans had a bunch of laterals to end the game, and they scored a touchdown to be within one. And Carney, who's the kicker,
he missed the extra point. I remember.
Blows the extra point.
I remember that. I remember that. And I got to tell you,
Did they go to the playoffs because of that game?
No.
Was that like 98?
You know what? It could have been. I remember that game like it was yesterday. And you know what? There have been so many games like that in NCAA history. Not so much. The worst game I ever saw, Tony, and I'm not sure how much time we got left. I think we got plenty. But one of the worst games I ever saw, I was at my mother-in-law's house. This is when she was alive. This was many years ago. This was like 1994. And we're in like southwestern Virginia over Christmas. And I'm watching the Minnesota Vikings play the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals were, I want to say that the Vikings were minus eight. And they scored and kicked an extra point to go up eight. This was before, you know how long ago this was? Before the two-point conversion in the NFL. So they were up by 8 points. Cincinnati, behind Boomer Esiason, goes the length of the field throwing the football, and they get into the end zone with about 14 seconds left in the game, touchdown, right? They can't do anything but kick an extra point. So I'm going to cover, and they're going to lose by one, and the game is over. Flag on the play, okay?
Ooh.
Tripping. Cincinnati, number 74. They show the replay. The guy didn't even touch anybody. I mean, Esiason threw the pass literally after he dropped back two steps and threw the ball. So now they're like first and goal from the 25 or something. Next play, touchdown Cincinnati. Flag on the play. Tripping, number 74. They showed it. He fell down because the guy steamrolled him. He didn't even have time to put his foot out, and at that time I realized that there was a conspiracy in the NFL among the referees.
Wow.
And let me tell you what it was, Tony.
And Bruce has never
Tony,
been the same.
Tony, let me tell you what it was. It was a Sunday night game, one of the first Sunday night games they ever had, and it was Mike Patrick and Joe Theismann doing the game back when they did it on ESPN. And I'm going to tell you, Mike is one of my best friends, oldest friends. He couldn't believe it. Now, he didn't say anything until I saw him later. But that just doesn't happen.
Just
and that the only words. Reason yeah. that happened, it didn't do anything to – it wouldn't have done anything for the outcome of the game, but it would have destroyed – evidently, the line went – are you ready for this? I apologize. The line was 5. The line went from 7.5 to 5 in one day. You know why? Because on Sunday night during Christmas vacation, every male in the country is watching that game, and a lot of them are wagering on that game. And they couldn't let the boys lose that much, you know what. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Tony, what else is going on? Your Cleveland Indians got beat.
But, Tony, they're talking about Josh Freeman to the Browns. Is that a real rumor, or is that just talking heads on the internet?
No, it was talking heads. There was a rumor on Friday that Matt Schaub was coming to the Browns.
Oh, my God.
Fake accounts or something. But I'll be honest with you. What I saw with Brian Hoyer the past couple of weeks was it made me happy as being a Clevelander and someone who covers the team.
He's not bad.
Watching Brandon Whedon get that win, it didn't feel right, because they're like, when Whedon's that quarterback, it's a different level of slow. Like, there's slow, you have people, Andy Dalton in the pocket, and then there's Brandon Whedon. And
he is slow.
To victory.
Yeah. He is slow.
And the Browns right now, because Jason Campbell the other day was inactive. Yeah. Now, I understand you're not going to keep three quarterbacks on a roster, or at least for a game. But if Jason Campbell's not better than Brandon Whedon, I don't know what to tell you. So they desperately need another quarterback. And if it's Josh Freeman, you know what? Fine. I do it. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. I don't think he's going to go there. I guess they said he's going to make his decision tonight. I would honestly, if I had to bet on it, it would be either Houston or Cincinnati, because I'm not sold on Andy Dalton, and it's looking more and more like the Bengals aren't either, because they have AJ Green and they have Tyler Eifert, who's done a great job so far, but really Andy Dalton's out there just throwing balls in the dirt or overthrowing everyone. He's not looking that good. And they're burning Matt Schaub jerseys in Houston, so why not? Why
it's
not
Texas. It's Texas. They kill presidents there, Tony. Listen, let me explain something to you about what I think is going to happen in Texas. I think in Texas, it's finally time. If they go 8-8 or 9-7, they miss the playoffs, we're going to say goodbye to Gary Kubiak, and they're going to end up getting another coach, and everything is going to change anyway. You know, they may have to keep Schaub a year just because, you know, they might not be able to get the quarterback they want to
Johnny
put in there.
Johnny Football.
Could you imagine Manziel in Houston?
Oh, God.
But they would have to trade down with somebody. Well, they could probably do it because knowing Houston, you know, they've always had plenty of draft picks. You know, I didn't even think about that. That's a great call.
Stays in state.
That's a great call, Roy. Thanks. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
It ain't going to Dallas because Tony Romo, according to everybody that's ever had anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys, is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, who would you take? Tony, you're a smart guy. I've already told him who I'd take, but he doesn't listen to me, but he'd listen to you. Eli Manning today throwing against a defense that can't tackle, or Colin Kaepernick maybe running for more yards than he passes for today? That's a tough one, isn't it?
I'm tongue because that's not the same Eli. I thought that was Cooper Manning the last couple of weeks for the Giants.
If it was Cooper, he probably wouldn't have thrown as many picks. Cooper could play. He could play. Tony, thanks for coming on, man. Tony Mazur, WKRK, Cleveland, Ohio. Tony, I'm coming to see you. I'm going to go to one of the home games in Cleveland this year for sure.
Oh, excellent.
All right, good buddy. Hey, you be good, all right? Hey, great show, Roy. We'll see you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.